Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the verses 26 to 33. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 to 33. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. My theme for reflection is order in worship, peace in the Spirit. Order in worship and peace in the Spirit. New Year is a time of fresh starts and resolutions, where everyone vows to be a little more organized, disciplined, and intentional. But let's face it, by mid-January, some of us will already have forgotten those resolutions. I once heard about a young boy who asked his dad why people make New Year's resolutions if they know they won't keep them. His dad replied, "Well, it is like trying to sing a hymn out of tune. It doesn't sound great, but at least you are making a joyful noise." Speaking of joyful noise, let's turn to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 14, where he addresses the early church in Corinth, a congregation bursting with spiritual gifts but struggling with disorderly worship. Paul reminds them and us that worship should not be chaotic or self-serving. Instead, it should reflect the peace, order, and love of God. Paul begins with an important principle: let all things be done for building up. In Corinth, the worship services were vibrant but disorganized, with everyone eager to showcase their gifts. Paul's concern was that such displays distracted from the true purpose of worship, edification. Paul focuses particularly on the gift of tongues and prophecy. He establishes clear rules for their use, emphasizing intelligibility and order. Speaking in tongues, for example, must have an interpreter. Prophecy, on the other hand, is meant to encourage, comfort, and edify, but even these must be weighed carefully. This isn't just about keeping things neat and tidy. As Paul says, God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Worship reflects the character of God. When worship is chaotic, it sends the wrong message about who God is. Instead of drawing people closer to Him, it pushes them away. Years ago, a small church choir was preparing for Christmas Eve service. Everyone wanted to sing their favorite carols, and no one could agree on a single song. Some members insisted on traditional hymns, while others wanted something modern and upbeat. The rehearsal descended into chaos. Finally, the choir director stepped in and said, "We are not here to outsing each other or prove a point. We are here to sing for God and to help the congregation worship." With that, they chose a single hymn, sang it beautifully, and brought tears to the congregation's eyes on Christmas Eve. Isn't this a picture of what Paul is calling us to in this passage? Worship is not about individual preferences or displays of talent. It is about unity, order, and glorifying God together. My dear friends, the gift of tongues has often been misunderstood and misused in modern Christian culture, particularly in some movements where it is seen as a mark of spiritual superiority. But Paul reminds us that tongues without interpretation do not edify the church. True spiritual gifts are never about personal glory. They are tools for serving others and glorifying God. Prophecy too must be handled with care. In today's context, this could mean discerning truth in preaching or ensuring that claims of divine revelation align with Scripture. As Walter Brueggemann aptly puts it, the prophetic tasks of the church are to tell the truth in a society that lives in illusion, to grieve in a society that practices denial, and to express hope in a society that lives in despair. As we begin or continue in this new year, Paul's words challenge us to reflect on our worship and our own lives. Are we building each other up, or are we focused on self-promotion? Are we creating a space where God's peace and order can thrive, or are we letting chaos and division take over? Just as Paul instructed the Corinthians, we are called to let our worship reflect God's nature. When our services and lives are rooted in love, humility, and order, we edify one another and become powerful witnesses to the world. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, are there areas in your worship or personal life where disorder or self-centeredness has taken root? How can you invite God to bring peace and order? Number two, how can you use the gifts God has given you to build up others rather than seeking recognition or praise for yourself? Gracious God, as we continue in this new year, we seek your wisdom and guidance. Help us to approach worship and life with humility, love, and a desire to build one another up. May our gifts reflect your glory and draw others closer to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always, now and forevermore. Amen.